Welcome to the Fantasy Football Elite Podcast. Whether you're a seasonal or daily fantasy football player, Guru Elite has the experience, knowledge, and power to make you a champion. Here's your host, Jeff Mann.
And welcome in, everybody, another episode of Fantasy Football Elite. What is going on? I'm your host, Jeff Manns, GuruElite.com. That's where you find me. I understand we are now live on iTunes and several other Stitcher and different places out there, other media outlets. If you guys are hearing my voice for the first time, you could follow me on Twitter at Jeff_Manns, the Jeff Manns on Instagram and Snapchat and Facebook and other places like that. But also a little bit about my background. I am the CEO of GuruElite.com. That's correct. We are a partnership with FantasyGuru.com. You obviously should have heard about FantasyGuru.com by now. And I'm also the afternoon host at SiriusXM's Fantasy Sports Radio, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time every weekday. I also host Everyman's Fantasy on SiriusXM. That's 10 to midnight on Thursday evenings, along with Pilar Lastra. I am also your Sunday morning pregame show host, along with Bob Harris over at SiriusXM as well. So that I've been playing fantasy football since 1989. I should just do a whole, I'm just going to do my own biography. How about all that? How about I just go through it? My blood type is O negative. I am 6'3", 220 pounds. No, that's all you need to know. I've been playing since 1989. I have been in this industry, the fantasy sports industry, since 2005. So it's a cool 13 years now in there, talking all kinds of fantasy sports and specifically football. Speaking of our site at GuruElite.com, we are launching our 2018 Fantasy Football Draft Guide this week that will be out on July 11th, depending on when you guys are listening. Maybe already out. Go and get it. Check it out, everybody. It is my life's work, to be quite honest with you. I know, sad, pathetic, sure. But it's if it helps all you guys win championships, then it will all have been worth it. So check that out. We got coaching breakdowns, offensive lines, every ranking system and file and you could possibly dream up. We got by the numbers, rookie reports, DFS, best ball, separate guides for each one of those, team by team recounts as well. So again, check it out over at GuruElite.com. Folks, today, no more promotions. We got business to attend to. And we've been going through the offseason, who is in new locations. We've done quarterbacks, running backs, and receivers on previous podcasts. So hopefully you guys are all caught up by now. We're going to be pumping these podcasts out a lot more frequently now that we are indeed in the month of July. Got a lot going on as well. Also, by the way, part of our draft guide. All right, I lied. What do you want to do? One more promotion. Part of our draft guide this year will be full of strategy session podcasts on everything you could imagine, from how to form a plan to auction leagues to zero running back, like that still exists. All that kind of stuff is part of the draft guide there as well. But all right, today we're focusing on tight ends who are in new locations. Also going to spin some tight ends who are retired, some tight ends who are injured going into the 2018 regular season as well. So we'll talk a lot of tight ends today as well. And depending on how long-winded I get here, I'm also going to dive into some offensive line conversation because I think we have to get in now. We do an extensive breakdown with the offensive line. Our guy Ted Schuster over at Guru Elite, he locks it in every single summer. We sit him in a room with nothing more than oxygen pumped in and, you know, cases of water. That's about all he gets in a big metal pot to take dumps in. That's all he gets until he pumps out the greatest offensive line breakdown every single year. And we'll talk about teams that improved their offensive line, teams that didn't improve, teams that lost offensive line. Why is this important, man? Who cares about that? Well, I'll give one example before we dive into it later on in the show. And all I'm going to say is Todd Gurley. How about that? Who drafted Todd Gurley in the third round last year? That was a pretty good deal. Worked out for a lot of us, didn't it? Yeah, it sure did. Why was that important? Well, it's a new coach, new offense. Yes, absolutely, and that's important. Andrew Whitworth, though, he's the interesting character in this whole spin where Whitworth is the left tackle. He last year was in Cincinnati manning the left tackle spot for your Cincinnati Bengals. Do you guys want to know who was drafted ahead of Todd Gurley in majority of drafts last year? Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon. And Joe Mixon, what team is he on? Huh? Bengals. Andrew Whitworth went from the Bengals to the Rams. Nobody ran the ball well in Cincinnati. Todd Gurley had one of the best seasons of fantasy history. Huh. Interesting. Yes, it is. It's not a random occurrence. It's not something that isn't correlated. Of course it's correlated. I mean, you improve the offensive line, you improve the offense. And running backs break out, receivers and quarterbacks, tight ends sometimes break out. And tight ends, what we're going to talk about today, and the reason we're going to lump them in with the offensive line, I hope for most of you it's pretty obvious, right? The better an offensive line is, the more pass routes, the more of a receiving weapon that tight end position is. And the guy who's the poster child for this is Kyle Rudolph. Kyle Rudolph's one of the better tight ends in the National Football League. And he is, some years, he breaks out and catches 65 passes, throws up 800, 900 yards, and he's a, you know, tight end one in all fantasy. Other seasons, Vikings line sucks. Guess what Rudolph's doing? He's on inside trying to make room for Adrian Peterson, Matt Asiata, Jerick McKinnon, Lat Murray, Dalvin Cook, all right, over the past few years. So it really matters, and that's why we talk about tight ends and sort of throw them into the mix with the offensive line. First, some news and notes from around the NFL. Hold on. What's that? You guys hear that? What is that? That noise, my friends, is the sound of Andrew Luck. He's coming. Andrew Luck is stomping his big neck-bearded face right back into fantasy football relevance. Boy, who told you that 6 weeks ago on this Fantasy Football League podcast? Damn right I did. And yeah, I'll take the hits. Andrew Luck isn't healthy to start the season. That shoulder's not right. I'm going to take the hits, and I'm ready for it. I'm ready for it. But I've been telling you for 6 weeks now, Andrew Luck's going to be ready. He would have played last year. I have inside sources that told me about, while I was out there in Indianapolis for the scouting combine, they told me specifically, Luck would have played last year. If that team was relevant, had they not traded for Jacoby Brissett, he would have played at the end of 2017. He could have gone. They have made it crazy conservative approach to Andrew Luck because they know how important he is. And that's fine. So what? 2017's over. Whatever happened then is out the door. Now we have to look at it like, okay, what can he do for us here? He's fine. He's throwing the football. He's pain-free. He is good to go, folks. And by the way, training camp hasn't even opened yet. And yes, they're going to be conservative with him. Absolutely. But Andrew Luck's in better shape than he's ever been. He's been working out the whole rest of his body. He's another year smarter. You know, guy, Stanford University education. He's no dummy, especially if you look like a monster like he does. Like, you know, he's not dating. He's not Tebow where there's chicks throwing themselves all over him. No, he's a gross, disgusting, probably smelly dude. And thus, he's reading a playbook. He's coming up with new ideas. Now he's on top of it. He knows the offense that Frank Reich and Nick Sirianni are going to run here in Indianapolis. New head coach, new offensive coordinator. Luck's already read the playbook. He's already got it. He's going to be good to go. So I'm pumped up about that. And you're damn right. All you naysayers out there, don't think I didn't hear you. Don't think I didn't see you. Don't think I'm not reading your tweets at Jeff_Manns. I see you. I see all of you. I'm ready, though. Those footsteps, baby. It's Andrew Luck. He's a coming, folks. Don't you forget about it. I want to tell you about another player that I'm absolutely in love with right now. That is correct. I'm not ashamed to admit it. No. By the way, the theme of this podcast and every show that I do is there's no rules. Not just no rules, there's no judge. It's judge-free zone everywhere, all right? But I love Will Fuller. That is a painful sentence for me to say. You guys who are new to the show, you guys who are new to me and my commentary, you may not understand. I don't like Will Fuller. I'm a Notre Dame guy. Grew up on the south side of Chicago, and I'm Irish. What do you think my old man and grandfather, what team do you think they rooted for and made me root for? Damn right, Fighting Irish. But I've never been a Will Fuller guy. Undersized, fast as hell. His hands are terrible. His hands aren't below average. They're terrible. They really are. And he's a one-trick pony. That's pretty much my problem with Will Fuller. And when it comes to him, he drafted by the Houston Texans. I didn't think much of it. He was overdrafted in first round, in my opinion. It's the same thing as John Ross and all these speedsters. Philip Dorsett. And we get all these undersized guys who are fast. And teams think they're going to revolutionize the world. They're not. But, man, you just said you loved Will Fuller. Why are you crapping on him so hard? I need you guys to understand. I covered the NFL draft every single year. Did not like him in 2016. Did not like him going into last year. Why the hell, then, would I love him now? Well, here's the deal. The deal is his ADP is so far down. I think he's going like 75th, 78th overall, I believe, in the 12-team league. Does that put him in seventh round, middle of the smack dab in the middle of the seventh? Right? That's a great value. That's a wide receiver three or possibly, depending on how you draft, a wide receiver four. The reason I like it is everybody's fawning all over Deshaun Watson. Everybody is fawning over him. Everyone expects Deshaun Watson. A lot of you guys are probably thinking Deshaun Watson's the number one quarterback. He's either number one quarterback on your board or another fantasy analyst you've heard or whatever. And I understand the premise behind it. I get what people see, but I also think it's nonsense to think that a guy's going to keep up that kind of pace that Watson had in five or six games last year and propel that into 16-game schedule. Folks, it doesn't happen. I don't know why. Maybe it's that I brought up at the start of the show, I played this game since 1989. I've seen breakouts. I've seen Scott Mitchell. If you're 25 years old, you have no idea what I'm talking about Scott Mitchell, unless you live in Michigan, Detroit, or Miami. You don't know what Scott Mitchell is. Eric Kramer. Anybody remember these guys? Cordell Stewart. Maybe you remember him. At least that's a 2000s guy. It's just I've seen the breakouts, seen it happen. It lasts for, you know, 4 games, 8 games, 12 games, 16 games, a whole year, great. But doesn't continue on forever. And a guy has 2 ACL tears. He's very extraordinarily inexperienced. Doesn't play in a very robust offense. So, I'm nervous about Deshaun Watson. But if Deshaun Watson, all right, let's assume that, and again, I have him 4th, and people look at me like I'm a piece of crap. Like, oh, you have Deshaun Watson 4. How could you possibly rank other people ahead of Deshaun Watson? Oh. But if he's the 4th best fantasy quarterback this year, which is what I'm assessing right now as we sit in the middle of July, early July, if he's going to be that high, somebody's going to have to catch the football. And DeAndre Hopkins. Yes, of course, DeAndre Hopkins. But if you look at it, what are you expecting? Deshaun Watson has to throw for 3,500 yards. I mean, he has to. There's no other way around it. I think he throws for 3,500 yards no matter what happens. And let's say 22 touchdowns. That's baseline for Deshaun Watson. I think his gravy and where he ascends up boards is how much he runs, how many touchdowns he runs for, things like that. How minimal interceptions and turnovers he makes, takeaway points. That's what I think. So, with that being said, what do we think DeAndre Hopkins is going to get, 2,000 yards receiving? Because, folks, somebody's got to have that other 1,700 yards. But they don't have C.J. Fedorowicz anymore. They got Ryan Griffin, a tight end, pass catcher. He'll be around. He'll be used. They don't have a pass catching running back very much. Lamar Miller's there. He's around. But, again, nothing to write home about. They don't have any other wide receivers. I mean, we hear all the reports coming out this week. Braxton Miller is on the roster bubble. Kiki Kuti, he's there. He's going to play in the slot, but he's ultra small. He makes Will Fuller look like the Jolly Green Giant, right? I mean, there's just not a lot here, and they don't play 3 wide receiver sets. They just don't. They don't play 3 wide out sets. They play 2 tight ends. Folks got to understand. That's why I do the coaching breakdown every year. I talk about coaching. I talk about the base offenses, the movement before, what the quarterback's doing, what each position's doing, and how it reflects fantasy-wise. Why do those things? Because they aren't going to play three. Everyone's like, Kiki Coutee's going to be at the slot. Okay, they don't do that much. They don't do that. They play the 12. They don't play the 11. They play the 12. They play two tight ends. Will they throw a slot? Yeah, of course. All teams do it nowadays. But Coutee's not going to be on the field a ton. So who is? Will Fuller's the guy. Will Fuller was an absolute animal last year, folks. I mean, and for what he's doing and where he's going in drafts, you have no choice but to like him if you like Deshaun Watson. If you have any love for him, you have to love Will Fuller. 7 touchdowns in what amounted to 4 games. 7 touchdowns in 4 games for Will Fuller last year, folks. Good God. With Deshaun Watson? It's absolutely amazing. It is. And what's more, I talked to a couple of folks out in Houston, some Houston Texan insiders, and they've told us, listen, these guys are BFFs on and off the field. I had Aaron Wilson of the Houston Chronicle tell me that to my ear through the radio. It wasn't to my face, but I had Aaron Wilson tell me that. He's like, these guys hang out. These guys hang out on and off the field. And they work together on and off the field. They put in time. Will Fuller's been a big part of Deshaun Watson's rehab. From when he's throwing the football in a chair all the way up to now when he's doing light drills and everything. Will Fuller's been there, man. So would I think Will Fuller's going to keep up the 7 touchdowns and 4 game pace or get 1,200 yards receiving? No. I would never. No. If Will Fuller starts jumping up draft boards, I'm going to be out on Will Fuller. But as we sit here now, this guy's a 7th round pick. If Will Fuller's my 3rd wide receiver, I'm going to be absolutely thrilled with that. That's where I want it. Let's say I get let's say your receiving core is what? Let's say you go first round, you're going to go with one of those stud backs. And you come back around, you're going to get either Julio Jones, Michael Thomas, Keenan Allen, Devonta Adams, or A.J. Green. Right? Let's say that. Let's say that's what you come up with. You know what? Let's go. Let's say this. You get Zeke in the 4th overall. You come back, A.J. Green. That's right on par with ADP. Right? Then you can go any number of directions. After you do those, you got elite level wideout, elite level running back. Then you come back whatever you want. If you want to go and draft take a little bit of Jordan Howard or Derrick Henry, or you want to say, screw it, I'll go some consistency with Larry Fitzgerald or go a little more upside with Amari Cooper. Now the Crabtree's gone. It's your wide receiver. Then you come back and you draft either your next running back is either a Royce Freeman or Darius Geis or, somebody like that. Let's say you went with the wide out in the 3rd round. You didn't get that running back. Or if you drafted the running back in the 3rd round, you come back and you get your wide receiver. Then you can go back and grab your tight end. You grab a high-level quarterback. You could probably get a guy like you can get a player like probably Kelsey's going to be off the board by that point, obviously. But you can get Aaron Rodgers if you wanted to go that route, or you can get a Zach Ertz in that spot as well, Greg Olsen in that spot. Or you could just draft another wide receiver in that round, get your guy like I do not like the Rams wide receivers. Alshon Jeffrey is going down. That's hell of a pick right there. But let's say you even got Cooks or Jeffrey or Jarvis Landry or one of those guys. Now you're all set up. You got your wide outs, you got your running backs at this point, and you still could draft Will Fuller in another round. So Will Fuller could be your 4th wide receiver. That's how amazing that is. The value is too hard to pass up. Now don't go talking about this to everybody though. Let's not broadcast this because honestly, I don't want to pay a higher price. I do not want this dude going up the 4th round. Don't want that. 4th round is my 2nd wide receiver. Too much risk. He's a one-trick pony. Health has always been a concern. If Deshaun Watson goes down, this whole thing implodes on itself. So be careful. We got to draft him at the right point. Players like this we call helium players. We don't want to the helium growing too big that it skyrockets, right? Those are things that we absolutely do not want. So there you go. Other news from around the NFL. So I love Will Fuller right now. Some feedback from last week's podcast where people were, we talked about the wide receivers and such. And I left Bryce Butler off my list. How dare I? I do love Bryce Butler. He's with the Arizona Cardinals now. And he's a guy who's going to play an edge outside, likely opposite Larry Fitzgerald, depending on what they do with him. Fitzgerald's played all over the map, but he's played mostly slot in Bruce Arians' offense. Looks like he's going to play outside, though, now. So I love Bryce Butler, folks. And you want to talk – that's a guy in a best ball fantasy football league I'm into. I'm into Bryce Butler. So my bad, Bryce. My bad, boy. That's my guy right there. I loved him since he was with the Oakland Raiders. I saw him torch teams in preseason. I was happy when the Cowboys got him. Thought he got a chance when Dez went down, but didn't get the ball regularly. But, did he flash. He could be a special wideout this year. He could be special. All depends on the quarterback play in Arizona. That's a guy we target their fifth or sixth. That's a last-type pick. Way late. You need that one guy. You build your running back depth. You handcuff. You have five receivers already. I'll take one more. And Bryce Butler's that one more. He's the one more player. So I do like him, and I appreciate you guys. Appreciate you guys listening and actually catching me on that and calling me out on that. By the way, call me out on stuff. That's why I want to have this conversation at @Jeff_Mans. And soon enough, once the draft guide launches, folks, by the way, I'm a big liar because I'll promote the draft guide one more time. I'm proud of the damn thing. What do you want me to do? The thing we're doing this year with the draft guide is we're going to have one of our analysts in the chat room round the clock. All right, almost round the clock. Roughly about 12 hours a day, we're going to have coverage with either me or one of our other esteemed colleagues over at Guru Elite. We're going to be in there. So when you guys are drafting, when keepers are due, when you haven't done your research and you need to pop in and you need an answer, boom, 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 hit your phone up, hit the site up, whatever you have to do, boom, you have access to us. You have full access for us. And there's DMs within our chat room. There are we'll be able to interact, all kinds of stuff. You don't want other people knowing. Maybe you're in a league with other Guru Elite subscribers. You can hit us up on DM. But we are going to be there for you all the time. Entire draft season, absolutely. We will help you draft. You can sit there and say, hey, Mans, I'm on the clock, fourth round. Do I go this way or that way? Boom. Let's make a decision together. Hey, 20 minutes later, Mans, I'm in the fifth round. What do you want? Boom, right there. And that's the way we go. That's what it's going to be set up for. So I'm real excited about that. Let's dive into the tight ends in new spots here in 2018. Some offseason movements. First off, who are we getting rid of? Who's off the board? Well, one guy for sure is off the board, and that's Jason Witten of the Cowboys. Remember, he retired while we were at the NFL draft out there in Dallas. It was a big hubbaloo and all that stuff. So it was pretty interesting that he decided to hit the broadcast booth instead of play another year with Dak Prescott and everybody in Dallas. But that just means it's now Dak and Zeke's team officially, And the thing the Cowboys didn't do is they didn't get anybody to replace him, at least not yet. Dalton Schultz, a guy that was drafted in the fourth round, and I think they waited. They left a lot of good talent on the board. But Schultz is an intriguing guy. Stanford University, you want to talk about, Jason Witten-esque, I guess, is productive, can block in line, can get past those linebackers to be a move tight end as well. So I don't love it. I don't love Schultz. Rookie tight ends don't usually pan out unless they're in a fantastic system or circumstances dictate, like Evan Ingram did last year, which, by the way, latest ADP report, and I'm going to talk about this on Monday on SiriusXM, talking about freaking Evan Ingram. Oh my God. Fourth tight end off the board. You guys are high. Like, I want to know what drugs you're taking to draft Evan Ingram that high. Is anybody paying attention in New York? Anybody? Are you guys paying attention that Odell's back and Shepard's healthy and they got this guy named Saquon Barkley? Is anybody paying it? And it's a new offense? Oy vey, it's a bad move. The other tight end that retired seemingly, or he isn't officially retired though, is Antonio Gates. Now we are waiting for what happens to Antonio Gates. And maybe while you guys are listening to this, you know, as training camp approaches, maybe you're listening to Gates or something. Resigned in LA, you idiot. Hey, idiot, it's beginning of July. I'm recording this, right? Get out of my face. But yeah, he's right now a free agent. I'm surprised Dallas didn't make a play for Gates. Evidently, there was a news story around the 4th of July where that Gates said, you know what? I think about retirement. The only team I'll come back to play for is the Chargers. So, and why they haven't reached out, I don't know, because Virgil Green is not the guy. He's an inline tight end. He's a blocking tight end, a run blocking specifically tight end. He's not even a guy who pass blocks great or very well. So Hunter Henry going down for the Chargers was brutal because that's a guy I would have been on all over the joint. I would have been all over him. And luckily, when he went down, I had drafted exactly one best ball league at that time. And I did not end up with Hunter Henry. And that's only by luck because somebody else usurped me because I would have taken him in a heartbeat. I was all over him this season. But alas, no Witten. No Gates, no Hunter Henry this year, folks. So make sure you are aware of those three guys. Other players, let's start with probably the most intriguing tight end acquisition from this past year, offseason, and that's Jimmy Graham. Jimmy Graham going out there. He is now on the Green Bay Packers. It's his third team in 4 years, Saints, Seahawks, and now the Packers. And you know, a lot of people, I mentioned how Evan Ingram's the fourth tight end off the board, according to the latest ADP. Well, guess who's fifth? Frickin' Jimmy Graham. I don't see it happening, but maybe this is a situation where my experience playing fantasy football is going to hurt me because there's two lines of thinking here with Jimmy Graham and Green Bay. Number one is that there's never been a prolific tight end in this scheme. Mike McCarthy's offense has never produced quality fantasy tight end. Never. It's not happened. And they've had some good ones. They've had Jared Cook in his prime. They had Martellus Bennett the last couple of years. They've had JerMichael Finley, who was a beast before getting hurt. You know, it just hasn't happened. And it's never happened for Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is just not doesn't throw the tight end a lot. And I know that the fourth quarter – in the NFC Championship game 2 years ago against the Falcons, and Jerry Cook made all these catches and racked up all these points. Everyone seems to – once in a while, Aaron Rodgers, like the Richard Rodgers Hail Mary in Detroit, every now and then a Green Bay tight end will break out big for a game or two. And people will just gravitate toward it. Never, ever, ever continues. It's always a bad idea. Jimmy Graham is another year older. He's been through the wars. He's blocked a lot. He has aged his last couple of years in Seattle tenfold. Like, he's had to do a lot more blocking because that offensive line has been garbage. He didn't get a lot of targets last year. He didn't get a lot of catches last year. He got touchdowns last year, which brings me to avenue number two. Last year, Jimmy Graham was a prolific fantasy tight end. There's no question about it. And I was playing him in DFS time after time. The reason being is they kept throwing him the ball in the red zone. That's what Russell Wilson did. They didn't have anybody else. They didn't have a big body guy who could box out and go up for jump balls. It's something all teams need, especially as we get stronger, bigger corners, nickel corners, and safeties. Safeties that hit harder. So you need these big, strong tight ends to go up and get some jump balls. The problem is, or what happens is, this could be the same role for Graham this year in Green Bay. No Jordy Nelson. He was the primary red zone guy the last few years for Aaron Rodgers, and now he doesn't have it. So does Graham get those red zone targets, a lot of them? I say no. I don't believe it's going to happen. I've been fooled by it before. I've been fooled time and time and time and time and time again by, oh, a great quarterback like Aaron Rodgers and a good tight end like Jimmy Graham. Chocolate and peanut butter, right? They're going to fit well together. No. Graham's 31 years old. He's been injured a ton. He's not the same player he was back when he slam dunking the ball over the goalpost in New Orleans, right? He's just not the same guy. And this system has not produced a starting tight end one numbers forever. It's just never done it. So I have a lot of caution and as far as Jimmy Graham here, if it were a better price tag, if we were talking about Jimmy Graham being, eighth, ninth tight end off the board, let's even go sixth or seventh, somewhere like that, I would be into it. But fourth, I just can't do it, man. I just can't do it. And that's exactly what's been happening in the, according to National Fantasy Football Championship. We're seeing this guy, Jimmy Graham, go off the board fourth or fifth almost every time. He's actually fifth currently since July 1st. All right, so he's the fifth tight end off the board. So if we don't, if he's there, maybe tight ends wait in your league. You know, if you get him in the seventh or eighth round, I can't fight you on that. I would rather have Delanie Walker and Greg Olsen. I would rather take a shot even later on Jordan Reed. Alex Smith, look what he's done for Travis Kelce's career. Jordan Reed won't be healthy all year, but he's got Vernon Davis. They played together, remember? So I would rather wait and lock down with those tight ends than paying up for Jimmy Graham. But that's where I stand on that. Other players in new spots here this year. Ben Watson goes back to New Orleans, and this is a great fit for him, obviously. And Ben Watson is a guy. I talk about Jimmy Graham being old. Jimmy Graham's, what, 31, 32? Ben Watson's like 167. He's 37 years old. He's going to be 38 during the course of the season. But Ben Watson's a smooth operator, man. He's smooth. And last time he was in this New Orleans offense, don't forget, he got 110 targets, 74 catches, 825 yards, 6 touchdowns. That was just 2 years ago. That was just 2 years ago. Well, it'll be 3 years this year, back in 2015, right? Yes, it was a torn ACL ago. That's true. When he was in part of his 2 years in Baltimore, only played one because of the torn ACL. But he's got the trust of Drew Brees. He's got the trust of Sean Payton. And we've been waiting and waiting for a replacement to who? Jimmy Graham. And we thought Kobe Fleener was going to be it. We thought Josh Hill was going to be it. We thought Kobe Fleener was going to be it. And what happens? None of them. Nobody ever works out in or has worked out in New Orleans the last couple of years. And thus, we have an opportunity here with Ben Watson. And I kind of like it. I think there's – like Watson versus Graham is interesting because Watson's not going to get as many touchdowns or red zone looks. You know, he's more of a guy who will get 4 to 7 touchdowns in 2018. Like, he's that guy. But I feel like the consistency is going to be there with him where he's also going to get 4 to 7 targets per game where Jimmy Graham might get 1 to 4, 1 to 5. Now, maybe those are red zone targets, and those targets are more valuable, but they also have a lower hit rate as well. So take that in consideration. I like the price point of Ben Watson. I like if you're punting the position or just waiting on the position. I mean, you're getting Ben Watson, for a bag of balls at this point. You really are. You're getting him for next to nothing. So I think it's a pretty good play, in my opinion. And, Charles Clay, ASJ, Jared Cook, Cameron Brate. I mean, he's Vance McDonald and Ricky Seals-Jones, Austin Hooper. Ben Watson's the class of that tier of what of tight end by a mile. It's not even close. I have Ben Watson. If you go to my rankings, by the way, still free over at GuruElite.com. The free rankings are still up. All right, everybody, so don't panic. I have Ben Watson a lot higher on my list. I think he's a top 15 tight end. I really do. I think he's a very solid guy, and I think he could produce at a pretty good level. Not quite tight end one, but I think it wouldn't be a big surprise if he did achieve those numbers. Some other tight ends in new addresses this year. Let's go to Austin Seferin Jenkins, since he's kind of being drafted similarly to Ben Watson. And this intrigues me, too. I mean, the thing with ASJ, and by the way, if you've never heard the Austin Seferin Jenkins arrest tape, go do it. Or if you haven't heard it since 2 years ago and it was at Tampa Bay, go do it again. It's great. Talking about how bad he had to take a dump. What a just hilarious piece of audio that is. Really was great. But, this offense fits him very, very well. It's not a volume play. None of the receivers. I love DJ Chark. Marquise Lee is solid. They've got DD Westbrook. They've got players in Jacksonville. Problem is they have such a great defense, and they're going to run the ever-loving hell out of the football. So realistically, none of their pass catchers are worth that much in Jacksonville. ASJ, though, is a guy who moved the chains here and there, but also a huge guy in the red zone. And you look at the landscape of the Jaguars' wide receivers. They don't really – they have Marquise Lee, Chark, like I talked about, Westbrook, these kind of guys. They don't have a dominating red zone presence. And I think that this very well could be – we've seen Mercedes Lewis do it the last couple of years. You know, sneaky, but catching 4 or 5 touchdowns a year. I think that he could post much better numbers than that. You know, ASJ is closer to Jimmy Graham than we want to think. I understand the quarterback play. The offenses, though, are not too dissimilar. I mean, way more conservative for Jacksonville, but in terms of how many targets and receptions, I don't think it's that far. And I think ASJ is also going to be a primary red zone weapon for them. Doesn't have the upside of Jimmy Graham, absolutely. Doesn't have the quarterback of him. But he also, you know what else? He doesn't have the price tag. So, I mean, basically, folks, if you're listening, you're reading between the lines, what I'm telling you here is wait on the tight ends. What are we doing drafting tight ends so super early for? Don't really need to. Now, Gronkowski, he's a different animal altogether. When he's healthy, yes, when he's healthy. But that's what you pay for. But here's the thing. You draft Gronkowski, and if you get yourself a, you know, ASJ, or maybe not even, you don't have to go that far down, but if you get an Eifert or somebody like that, Ben Watson be a good compliment as a secondary guy, or you grab him off waivers, ASJ, you'd be in good spot. Your tight end position would be very, very good, unless Gronk gets an ACL tear, he's out for the year in week 1. You get a half season of Gronk, that's full season for any other tight end in the league, pretty much, not including Zach Ertz or Travis Kelce. It's that Kelce I'm not as thrilled about this year. Losing Andrew Luck, everyone like, oh, the big arm quarterback. Look, you got what are you guys thinking? Big arm quarterbacks don't check down to their tight end all the time. It's so funny. I hear this all the time. Pat Mahomes is going to do great for Kelce. Really? No, he's not. It's going to be great for Sammy Watkins and Tyreek Hill. Not going to be great for Travis Kelce. Not going to be better than Andrew Luck or Alex Smith was. He's not going to be better than that. So be careful, folks. Be careful with that one. Kelce is not in the same sphere as Gronkowski this year, in my opinion. Other guys who changed names or changed addresses this year, Trey Burton in Chicago. Burton was a DFS player, loved Trey Burton. We all did, because on weeks that either Celek and or Zach Ertz were not around and not available or hurt, Trey Burton posted some good numbers, five touchdowns, last season for him. Only really started 2 games. So pretty solid, right? I like Trey Burton. The Bears have done a lot of good things here. This offseason, Mitch Trubisky got him weapons like Allen Robinson, a good possession type wide receiver. Kevin White's still there, but he'll never live up. That's such a sad story about Kevin White and what's happened to his career, and just could never stay healthy. But Taylor Gabriel's going to stretch the field. Tariq Cohen out of the backfield as well. So those are all real good things here. And I think that, you know, we're in a very good spot with when it comes to Trey Burton. So, you know, don't sleep on him. He's a guy that's going – he's got – some people love Trey Burton. Some people do not love Trey Burton this year. His draft status right now, he's going right next to Kittle, Jordan Reed, right behind Kyle Rudolph, in front of Doyle, Howard, Njoku, which is appropriate. I think the real tough decision is between Trey Burton and Jordan Reed. I think that's the real tough one, tough decision, because Jordan Reed's upside is tremendous. Like, Jordan Reed could be tight end 2 in scoring this year. And nobody should be surprised. It's all a matter of health, which is a huge monumental concern. But the offense is perfect for him. The quarterback is perfect for him. Just needs to stay healthy. So, and then Burton has – he could be a bust in Chicago. I don't – you know, a lot of people make a lot of the Bears offense, but you know, we'll see a lot of teams. Every year there's teams that make big splashes in free agency and buy up a lot of skill position players in the draft. They don't usually work out very often, though. I know Philadelphia did last year, and that's what everybody's sort of clinging to. But year after year, there's other teams that don't, right? Year after year, there's teams that go on a big spending spree and bring in a bunch. New York Jets, a couple years ago, does anybody remember how they've fallen apart? Remember that? The Tennessee Titans? Gone a big spree there offensively. Couldn't get anything together. Yeah, I mean, Green Bay's done it in the past. And they don't pay like other teams pay. So I shouldn't have said Green Bay. But, you know, Buffalo's done it. I'll get LeSean McCoy. Get, you know, wide receivers. And even did it last year with Kelvin Benjamin, even though they traded Sammy Watkins. Arizona's done it. Like, there's teams that go out and get all these players, and it never really works out. Baltimore's continuously replenishing their offensive skill position players. Doesn't work out. So don't confuse activity with accomplishment in Chicago. But if things do click, if Mitch Trubisky does grasp the Matt Nagy offense, if that indeed all works out and all these weapons come together, so offense could be prolific and Trey Burton could be an easy top six tight end in fantasy football this year. But we're taking on just as much risk with that downside as we are with the health of Jordan Reed. Because Jordan Reed does not have the risk of the offense and his production. It's going to be there if he's healthy. Trey Burton could be healthy as blazes. He could be muscular and strong and fast and quick and everything else. And the whole thing fall to crap. So be careful with that one there as well. Other folks, Eric Ebron in Indianapolis. It's a player that had a good offseason program. He's young. I mean, that's the thing about Eric Ebron that people, either his defenders will point out, be the first thing they point out. Now, I'm not an Eric Ebron defender by any means, folks. I'm not, like, into him. But the fact is he's 25 years old. That's it. Pretty young guy. And going to a new atmosphere in Indianapolis. Now, the thing with Indianapolis – everybody needs to understand is there's no more Rob Chudzinski. Rob Chudzinski's been their offensive coordinator and a special assistant a couple years back on this Colts team. And Rob Chudzinski is the tight end whisperer. For those who don't know, that's what he does. Every major tight end breakout of the last almost 15 years could be traced back to Rob Chudzinski. And I'm not lying. Antonio Gates, Jeremy Shockey, Greg Olson, Jordan Cameron, you know, Jack Doyle, every single one of these guys, Dwayne Allen before that, Kobe Fleener was just, he was gone before that. But every single one of these guys, Jordan Cameron, I mentioned Cleveland. I mean, Chudzinski's offense has the most first read to tight end of any playbook in the NFL. But that playbook doesn't exist anymore. So the numbers you see for Doyle, and you think, oh, I like Jack Doyle or I like Eric Ebron. The Colts always seem to have these good tight ends. Not anymore. If you want to go back further, you have to – what you should expect from Indianapolis is more along the lines of what Frank Reich did both in Philadelphia and when he was out there in when it was San Diego with the Chargers. That's more what you have to look at as opposed to what – the Colts have done the last few years. Far as I'm concerned, I mean, Eric Ebron in a best ball league. Yeah, I could dig that. I don't want to deal with Eric Ebron in a redraft league though. Now I just went over how many names. I mean, Ben Watson, I can dig. Trey Burton, I can dig. I you know, Jimmy Graham, of course, he's high up there, but Austin Seferin Jenkins, I think there's maybe not as much upside because it's the Jaguars offense and Blake Bortles as opposed to Andrew Luck, but it's not far off from Austin Seferin Jenkins. It's really not. I mean, they're right there. It could go either way, but Ebron's being drafted, you know, 25 picks ahead, you know, two rounds ahead. So I have a tough time. And the presence of Jack Doyle, who is on there. By the way, the presence of Ebron should tell you that you stayed the hell away from Jack Doyle, because Jack Doyle, remember when he was with Dwayne Allen, he was an inline blocker. That's all he was. He wasn't the guy who's a pass catcher. Then he broke out when Allen went down and they stuck with it for a year. But Jack Doyle's not, and I look at this Colts line and what they're doing, It's a good offensive line, but when Doyle's on the field, he's going to be a blocker, and Ebron's going to be the pass catcher. So that's what I think right now, and I can't really alter away from that. I would take a number of guys over Eric Ebron right now. Now, if something happens to Jack Doyle, I'd be more interested. Other situations, I mean, Mike Gesicki's in Miami, Mark Andrews and Hayden Hurst in Baltimore. I'll say this, Gesicki's in a great spot just because there's not many pass catchers there. Kenny Stills, Devontae Parker, guys who just are very up and down, but they are not sure things. Ryan Tannehill coming off another knee injury, second straight year that he's gone out with one. Young tight ends don't really pan out unless the opportunity says so. And Gesicki is a guy who's on the radar because the opportunity might say they get another receiver to go down. This could be a situation where the kid's thrust into duty and he plays out of the slot and plays off the line of scrimmage. And in that case, I could see something. But I'm more interested in Hayden Hurst or Mark Andrews, one of these two tight ends of Baltimore. Baltimore, we talked about Ben Watson just moments ago, but, you know, Baltimore throws. Joe Flacco constantly targets tight end. Constantly. Ben Watson, folks, had 79 targets, 61 catches, 522 yards and 4 touchdowns in just 12 starts last year. Pretty good. Dennis Pitta, remember, he was sneaky good a couple years ago. Like, these guys are productive. The tight end spot in Baltimore, very productive. So I'm very intrigued. Guy like Hayden Hurst, remember, he played baseball. He was in the minor leagues in Major League Baseball, so he's a natural pass catcher. These former baseball players are always very good pass catchers, right? So we like when they play a skill position that's not quarterback, because that's a different animal in and of itself. But I think he is an older guy, more mature, and he's ready to contribute right away. I think Hurst is a guy that's very intriguing and another best ball target for me. Mark Andrews, don't lose sight of him. He's the other tight end that they took in Baltimore here this year. I prefer Hayden Hurst, to be quite honest with you guys. But if Andrews, I mean, third-round pick, that's still a pretty significant investment right there. You never know how this plays out once training camp hits, right? The best player, they John Harbaugh, Joe Flacco, this is a team that cannot develop talent. They need to win now. They are playing for jobs, or as all my Grease fans out there, they're playing for pinks. That's what they're playing for in 2018. So let's see. I'm sure I missed somebody here, but you guys could hit me up at Jeff_Mans on Twitter. Let me know who that I missed out on here. Let's talk some offensive lines real quick and teams that made significant changes or at least upgrades and downgrades along the offensive line. Start with the New York Giants. Nate Solder, Will Hernandez, and Patrick Omame. These three additions are going to just reinvent the entire – moving Eric Flowers to the right side. Eric Flowers is a high pick. He's a very strong guy, and he's looked good at right tackle this offseason. We'll see how it goes when they get the pads on and everything else. But this could be a dynamic offensive line. And Solder's a guy who's been protecting Tom Brady's blind side for years. Will Hernandez, go Google and watch video on Will Hernandez. Will Hernandez is like a truck. He's built like, remember those old phone trucks? Anybody, AT&T or Illinois Bell or whatever state you grew up with? Pa Bell, you know, whatever Bell you had when we were all kids. And then those big phone trucks, right? They were sturdy, looked like they could drive through a mountain. That's what Will Hernandez looks like. And Omame is a guy from Jacksonville who's going to add depth and possibly start at the right guard position. Could play center here as well in New York. I love it. And I think it's great for Manning. It's super for Saquon Barkley. They're going to be able to run the left side constantly. And I absolutely love this. So I think there's a good fit. Giants improved there. Good for Odell Beckham, the entirety of the Giants offense. The Indianapolis Colts, putting Quentin Nelson, the majority of scouts, true football people, scouts, even general managers, people in front of office, many people felt overall talent, Quentin Nelson was the best player in the 2018 NFL draft. And the Colts got him. He's going to protect that side, play left guard. And if you don't think guard matters and the interior matters, like Will Hernandez, go look at the Cowboys pre and post Zach Martin, who got a huge contract, I believe $79 million this offseason. $79 million for an offensive guard and a right guard at that, not even a blindside guard. That tells you how impactful Zach Martin is and how important he is to the Cowboys' offensive line. The entire offense changed. Tony Romo stood upright. You know, Zeke Elliott and McFadden and these guys were running wild. DeMarco Murray was a league leader, led the league in rushing the year Zach Martin got to town. Now Quentin Nelson's going to do it in Indianapolis. And Ryan Kelly is healthy. He's a terrific player as well in the interior playing center. So this interior got much better. Costanzo's solid at the left tackle position. So I really like what Indianapolis did. And then the Cowboys, who I just mentioned, Tyron Smith was hurt at times last year. Zach Martin was banged up at times last year. What do? The Cowboys go out, second-round pick. They draft Connor Williams, who played at the University of Texas. Many people had a first-round grade on him. They get him in the second, and they don't even know where to play him. He's a backup. This just insulates. This just means no injury is going to impact. I love when NFL teams do what the Cowboys did. They took a strength and reapplied it. They made it stronger. I like it. That's the way to do it. Cowboys are making no mistakes on who they are. They're going to run the flipping ball all season long. They don't need Dennis Bryant, no Tony Romo, no Jason Witten, no more egos. It's Dak Prescott, well, Zeke Elliott's ego. That's the only one. And he's going to get the ball a hell of a lot here as well. So we'll see what happens. Connor Williams could, if he fills in, if he plays left guard, he could end up playing left guard and starting there, which, good Lord, this is a guy who was looked at as a franchise left tackle going into the draft. Now he's going to play guard for you next to the best center in the game in Travis Frederick and one of the best left tackles in Tyron Smith. And, oh, by the way, Zach Martin and Lael Collins on the – oh, my God. You think the Cowboys offense is going to struggle? You guys got another thing coming. Another thing coming. Other teams that improved their offensive line, I like what the Bengals did. A year ago, they lost Whitworth, and the running game went nowhere. This year, they bring in Cordy Glenn. They trade for him from the Buffalo Bills. They draft Billy Price, who's going to shore up their offensive line. Billy Price, a guy who could play center for them. He could play one either guard position as well. Not exactly sure what the Bengals are planning. I think he's going to play center, but this Billy Price, a guy, anybody heard of the Ohio State Buckeyes? And you see what their offense does year after year? Well, this guy is a four-year starter. He's hella good, too. He was a first-round pick. So all of a sudden, the Bengals reapply some touches. You get Jake Fisher healthy again, Cordy Glenn on the left side, Billy Price in the interior. Let's say he plays center. And now Joe Mixon looks a lot more interesting this year than he did a year ago for me. I think they're going to be able to run the ball. They know they made a mistake in letting Andrew Whitworth walk, and now they went out and reapplied it and got better. How awesome is that? I think it's very good. So those are the teams that improved. The teams have lost. The Buffalo Bills are in disarray. I mentioned they traded Cordy Glenn. Richie Incognito, left guard. Eric Wood, center, and right guard, John Miller, all gone. Four-fifths of an offensive line that graded out as one of the top six in the NFL last year. They're all gone, though. They're all gone. 30-year-old LeSean McCoy to go with whatever quarterback, A.J. Flippin' McCarron, or maybe Josh Allen, whoever started. It's a disaster in Buffalo. Don't go near the Buffalo Bills running game this year. Don't do it, folks. Packers and Seahawks, they did nothing to improve their offensive line. I'm very disappointed in both. They didn't take any hits necessarily, but they didn't reinforce it, which both teams I felt needed to. Dolphins lost center Mike Pouncey as well. That's another knock on that Miami offense. All right, folks, that will do it. Tight end breakdown, offensive line breakdown. If I missed anything, folks, we will hit it. I'll have a conversation with you on Twitter at @Jeff_Manns, the Jeff Manns on Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, any other places out there. Remember, our 2018 fantasy football draft guide will be available as of July 11th of 2018. You will have full access to the entire team, me, Tommy G, Jeff Collins, Draft Cheat, Ted Schuster, Ray Flowers, Vlad Sedler, Benny Ricciardi, and more, our entire group. We're going to have our own draft party every single night over at GuruElite.com. Be a part of that. Strategy sessions, coaching breakdowns, offensive lines, rankings up the wazoo, everything you could possibly imagine. Daily fantasy football how-to and expert strategies, as well as our best ball fantasy football guide as well. So much that we put into this, folks. Hope you enjoy it. Any other things you want us to talk about, just hit me up again on Twitter or any other social media outlets. Don't forget our partners over at draft.com/GuruElite, or if you download the Draft app, use the promo code GuruElite, and that's the way you guys could see what contests I'm playing in daily fantasy baseball tonight or during the fantasy football season. You want to draft against me in a best ball league over on draft.com, you have to use the promo code GuruElite to do so. Then just challenge me, or anytime I participate in a contest, you will be alerted. That's how Draft works. It's a great community infrastructure that they've built there, and we are very, very happy to be partnered with Draft as well. That'll do it for me, everybody. We will see you next time. Stay winning, everybody. Have a good night.